Only help Judith and I'm an addict. And I thank God for being here. I thank God for loving me so much to, in spite of every attempt that I made to not be here today, he saw fit to have me here today, live in a well and in the recovery process. And I've got to thank him for that. I've got to thank the God of my understanding for reversing the natural order of things in my life. Because the natural order is that I could have, would have, or should have been dead. But here I am, very much alive. And I also have to thank the Montgomery County area for the CPR CNA 16 for asking me to come out and share on the topic of living spiritually. And I'm really moved about doing this topic because it has definitely been a journey for me. This whole program, the whole Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and begin to develop an understanding of what it means to live spiritually did not happen overnight. It did not happen as a result of me doing it right. It happened as a result of me messing up time and time and time again. But I am today on the path of living a spiritual life. And I just need to qualify by letting you know that I use drugs and use drugs and use drugs, like many of us. And in the end, at the end of my road, drugs used me. I found myself in a state of degradation, a state of shame, doing things that I never thought that would be happening to me at the end of my road. I'm talking about living in an abandoned house where there was no water, nothing to wash myself off with. I'm talking about spending the night sleeping on toilet stools in the Shell gas station, because that was where my last hit found me. I'm talking about going to houses with a pocket full of money, being treated like a queen until the money ran out. When prior they had told me I could spend the night, but once the last hit was done, all of a sudden their boyfriend was coming over where they needed to get control of their kids. Bottom line was I had to go. I'm talking about I qualify because once upon a time, when I first began experimenting with drugs, I could stop, but I didn't see any need to. And then later on down the road, when I saw the need to stop, I wanted to stop but couldn't. And that qualifies me for this program of Narcotics Anonymous. Getting in touch with the concept of powerlessness was very difficult for me. Because I grew up being the baby of four children, grew up being told, it was instilled from early on that me and my brother were the smartest people in the family, that I really had it going on. And I believed that, hook, line, and sinker. I thought I was so smart that I could escape some of the pitfalls that my drug use would eventually bring me. I was warned. A boyfriend early on even told me when he caught me with that pipe in my hand and tried to smack it out, "You think you know everything." That went right over my head because I did think I knew everything. It wasn't until I found out that I really didn't know anything or know everything that I knew what he was talking about. But by that time, it was too late. I was caught up in the grip. I grew up in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area family, and what it was like at the end of my road, it was like me walking up into hit houses in Camden, New Jersey, and them telling me in order to stay and party, I had to be willing to smoke at least a half ounce with them, or else I couldn't stay. And I was willing, and I would do it. But I'm going to tell you how good God is, because there were many times when I would hear that inner voice that told me if I took that one more hit, that I would clock up out of here, and I took that one more hit anyway. I'm talking about the old school using before they had the Ready Rocks, when it was, you know, called Freebase in its full form, and we would cook that stuff up when we had the inverted pipes. I would be so locked and loaded in my addiction, so unable physically to be able to take that hit on my own, that I would have to have somebody hold a pipe with one hand because I was clutching my chest with the other hand. Couldn't stop. Locked down in addiction. I went to a rehab when I was 28. You know, I went all the way through high school and all the way through college and had never heard of Narcotics Anonymous. I grew up with a father that drank excessively. I never knew he was an alcoholic. They just called him old sloppy drunk. Went all the way through high school and college thinking I knew everything, but had never heard of a program called Narcotics Anonymous or that it would be a disease. We believed that it was strictly self-will run riot and that we were in the state we were because that was how we wanted to be. And again, that's how it was for me in the beginning. But at the end of my road, I wanted to stop and I couldn't. So when I went to that rehab, I'll never forget it. I cried more in that 28 days than I had in my whole 28 years of living because I was getting honest with myself for the first time. But you know, you're as sick as your secrets. And I didn't tell him I had that drinking boyfriend out there because I knew that y'all was going to tell me I had to get rid of him. And I wasn't willing to do that. The only reason I went to the rehab was to salvage that relationship. Where was I at first day after rehab? Down on the streets in Camden, showing him how well I was, feeling out of control because he was drunk and getting high in the middle of the street. And before the night was over, I was getting high too. A lot of pain. I had a daughter. My daughter was around 5 years old at that time in New Jersey. And I had caretaking sisters because they didn't have any children. And they told me, you know, thanks for bringing her into this world. And I had a caretaking mom who I love so much to this day, even though she's passed on. And I'll share about the family piece a little later on. But in a way, that enablement injured me to the fact that it allowed me to not take responsibility for my own actions. And so when my daughter was around 4 or 5, you know, as my disease progressed, they began taking care of her more and more. And she was interfering. So I was happy to let them do that. But at one point, the relationship didn't work out. And I couldn't stand the fact of only being 15 minutes away from him and not having it. So I did what I didn't know then, but I know now. It's called that geographic cure. Because I said, I can't stand being 15 minutes away from him. I need to get about 3 hours and 15 minutes away from him. So I came from Philly, New Jersey area and came here to Maryland. And people would ask me all of the time, what brought you to Maryland? And I would say, Trailways. And they would look at me and laugh just like you're doing. They'd be like, no, seriously, what brought you to Maryland? Trailways. Trying to get out of where I was and to try to get to a better place. But y'all know the story. I brought me with me. And it was only a New York minute before I found some more people, places, and things to get into the same type of bondage that I was in when I left New Jersey. I cried a lot of tears. There were a lot of issues going on with the baby's father. My daughter is 21 to this day. To this day, she never has known her father. Has been an area of pain for me. I'm still not 100% healed in that area. But I can accept that today, and I'm still going on in spite of that situation. That was very painful. I used drugs and alcohol a lot to cover that pain that I couldn't stop from that situation. And the point that I need to share with you guys tonight is that what happened for me, that was what it was like, but what happened for me to begin not just walking a path where I didn't use anymore, but begin walking a path of recovery was because the pain of staying the same finally became greater than the pain of change. So I was willing to make some changes. Like I said, I've been to the rehab. I was clean, but I was a chronic relapser because I had surrendered to the drugs and alcohol, but I hadn't surrendered to recovery. See, because once you begin surrendering to recovery, that's when that spiritual living can really kick in. And you no longer have to do the things that you had to do before when you were just surrendering to the not getting high no more. It's deeper than the substance. On a daily basis, I have to get in touch with the fact that it's deeper than the substance. So what happened for me in my life was that I got sick and tired of being in that mode where I could stop, but I couldn't stay stopped. Back in 92, 93, I got clean for what I thought would be the final time. I wanted this thing so badly at this time that I thought that I would never, ever, ever use again. And I stayed clean for 22 months. But there were some things that was going on inside of me. I had this daughter who I had brought back from Jersey who was now out of control because of all of the abandonment. Nobody really knew how sick she was on the inside until some things that happened later on. But also I had this boyfriend that I just couldn't seem to be able to let go of. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That relationship with that man, not worth having. That relationship where you can't really blame him. Because it's not just so much that, you know, he's giving you crumbs, But not only did you accept the crumbs, but you invited the crumbs because that's all you thought that you was worth. I know somebody in here can identify with that. And there was a lot of things going on, and because of my deep embedded control issues, I thought that I was the one who was supposed to be able to fix my daughter. After all, wasn't it my fault that she was the way she was? And y'all told me that even though I was the one who had helped get her that way, I wasn't the one who would be able to fix her. And I didn't understand that. How could that be true? I loved her so much. I'm clean now. I got a working relationship with the God of my understanding. Me and God got it going on. Why can't I be the one who affect this change in her life? So the frustration of doing that and the boyfriend that it wasn't working out, all of these things going on, I found myself at 22 months picking up again. I was devastated. I was devastated. But the good news is I had enough of this program had kicked in me that I had some hope that I would make it back. I don't take it for granted today that I made it back, because I know millions don't make it and billions don't make it back, but I am one of the ones who did. And our literature talks about in recovery and relapse how sometimes a relapse will lay the groundwork for a firmer foundation. That was my story. But then right after that it says, but then sometimes walking this path of recovery means holding on with an obstinate will no matter what. And that's what it's like for me today. This is a progressive disease. I was clean for 22 months, but it took me 29 months to make it back. But I'm going to tell you something that happened to me when I was going through that storm. I determined when I made it back, because I did believe that I was going to make it back, that I was going to be willing to do some things that I had never been willing to do before. I became willing to make my own recovery my priority. Forget about the boyfriend, forget about the daughter, forget about all of the other things that had meant so much to me. It finally kicked into me that if I wanted to stay here, I was going to have to learn how to make my own recovery my priority. What I was doing in making that decision, I was giving the God of my understanding permission to come in and do some stuff. I mean, he was there all of the time, but he gives us will. He gives us, we're free will. I'm a free will agent. And when I did that step three, what that involved was making a decision. But you know, there's a guy in my home group back in Gettysburg, and he says, you know, three frogs were sitting on a log. Two decided to jump off. How many were left? And the answer is still three, because all they did was decide it. You know, so in step three, I decided. I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. But through the third, and then the tenth, and then the 11th, then finally, you know, the way it works for me in this fellowship, it's like I have a will. And I will to do things that I thought was my way. But through the steps, I learned how to turn over that will. And the will that was mine, I decided to give it back. And I gave it back to a God of my understanding to have him do what he needed to do for me, which was to put me in this fellowship. And when I say put me in this fellowship, I'm not talking about somewhere on the sidelines of this fellowship. I'm talking about getting dead in the center. When I came back in this program, December 13th, 1996, making my own recovery my priority, things began happening that had never happened before. I had a critically low sense of self-esteem. But what began happening this time was my self-esteem began building. I began not just having the sponsor, but I began using her on a regular. I had a very, very good sponsor, you know, the first sponsor I had. She was a sponsor who believed in looking everything up, which was good for somebody with me who had that grandiose attitude that she thought she knew everything. She said, if it's not the word A, the, or that, you're looking it up. And I'm here to report to you that as a result of doing that, it would increase the knowledge that I would have when I would go into doing that stuff. So beginning this path, before I could even qualify myself as living spiritually, I had to come to grips with what it meant. You know what I thought it meant at first? I thought at first that living spiritually meant that I did it right all of the time. And that if I didn't do it right all the time, or if I made a decision that I was going to lose some weight, or I was going to let go of this man not worth having, and I found myself back at him, or I found myself back with the, you know, Chinese food, that I wasn't really serious and I wasn't really working on nothing, because that's what I thought it meant. I also confused spirituality with religion, because I thought that if I really, you know, loved the God of my understanding, which I did, that stuff was going to happen by osmosis. And that's not what it is. What it is for me today, what spirituality is for me today, means loving myself even when I mess up. It means being real gentle with myself. So much is different for me today than it was before. It means trusting God in a way that I've never done before. It means letting people in to do for me what I can't do for myself. It means accepting that my way doesn't work, but that maybe if I just trust you enough to do it your way, that maybe things will get better in my life, and then doing that thing. What living a spiritual lifestyle means for me today, family, is when I say I'm going to do the work. What doing the work for me, it doesn't just mean calling my sponsor, doing the step work, going to meeting, you know, having a sponsor and sponsoring. What doing the work for me means today, when I make that decision to not call that man from the past, but then the feelings to call him come up. Doing the work for me means not making that phone call anyway. Trusting that eventually, my feelings will catch up to that decision to stay let go. That's what doing the work for me means. And I learned how to be gentle with myself because I realized something. And I hope this will help somebody. The number one way for me to stunt my spiritual growth is to beat up on myself. I've noticed in so many ways how my self-talk has changed. I'm talking about the things that I was saying to myself unconsciously and little interactions in the morning. I suffer from CRS. For those of y'all who don't know what that means, can't remember stuff. And no matter how much I told myself the night before that I was going to be able to get them keys, I would find myself in the morning not being able to find them keys. And the way I used to talk to my precious self, because I didn't know I was precious, the way I used to talk to myself was, you idiot, you know, where the F are they? You're so stupid. But you know what I do today? Judah, honey, what did you do with your keys? I am so loving and gentle with myself today, the same way a tolerant parent is with a two-year-old child who knocks stuff over. I am patient and tolerant with myself like that today. That comes as a result of tapping into some spiritual principles. I'm here to report to you today that living spiritually for me means trusting the guidelines of this program. When y'all tell me work the steps and live, that's what I'm willing to do. It's not enough for me just to be clean. I want to lead a life of victory and not defeat. It's not enough for me to be free from the bondage of drugs, including alcohol. I want to be free from the bondage of self. I want to be free from the bondage of low self-esteem. I want to be free from the bondage of fear. I want to be free from the bondage of the self-loathing. I want to be free from the bondage of self-rejection and rejection of others. Because you know, in some relationships, what I've come to realize today, that what I thought was rejection was really God's protection. God has formed a hedge of protection around me, and he's not going to just let any old thing in. Why? Because I'm here, planted here for a purpose. It ain't about me. It's about me taking what I've learned and giving it back freely the same way that it's been given to me. And I'm in touch with purpose today. I'm in touch with service work today. If I really want to get rewarded, if I really want to, you want to feel full, give it away. Living spiritually for me today begins with me having a different perspective on things. I'm talking about giving so that I can keep it. Giving so that I can get more. I'm here to report to you today that when I was out there using, the more I gave you, the less I would have. But walking this spiritual path tells me to have a different concept. Like, admitting that I'm powerless, to let some power come in. Like, sharing in a fashion of humility so that I can eradicate the pride. Like, admitting to you guys that I'm feeling some fear so that I can get some courage. My God is not asking me today not to feel fear. I'm a human body. I am a spiritual being, but I'm in a human form. So my God is not asking me not to feel fear. What he is saying, Judith, when you feel the fear, don't bow to the fear. Don't make the fear sovereign. Let your faith outweigh the fear. Let my track record in your life show you that it's going to be all right. that not only will you make it to the other side of your situations, but you can and you will make it to the other side of your situations victoriously. You know, I shared with you in the beginning about what a blessing it was for me to be up here sharing. You want to hear the real hit? It's my birthday today. It's my birthday. April 13th is my birthday. So not only do I get the chance to be clean, I get the chance to be in a convention, and I get the chance to be sharing about the hope that Narcotics Anonymous affords me on my birthday. Is it because of something I did? No. It's because of something called grace. That's why I'm here today. And I have to keep that up front. I got to remember where I came from so that I don't repeat. Because y'all told me those who are doomed, you know, those who forget are doomed to repeat. You know, I need to share about that relationship piece when I share about living spiritually. Because, you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if I can't let go of the bondage in relationships, then I'm not going to be able to walk the spiritual path that's laid out for me. I'm not talking about a spiritual path that I created. I'm talking about a spiritual path that's laid out for me. So I had to let go of some relationships. I had to let go of some relationships with men that were not only less than what I deserved, but that were stagnating me from my walk. Growing on this spiritual path, it's definitely got benefits, but it's got its drawbacks too. How about when you want somebody in your life, but your spiritual path won't let them be in your life?
Well.
And how about you want to go back and do that one more shot because you love them?
Come on, man.
Come to find out that the healthy high self-esteem now resides in you,
yeah,
and won't let you pick up that phone and dial. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? How about realizing that it's going to hurt and being okay with the fact that it's going to hurt? I'm okay with the fact today that it's going to hurt because guess what? It's going to hurt anyway. And I found out between the holding on pain and the letting go pain is much better anyway. Because you see, family, in the holding on pain, things got worse and worse as I plunged deeper into the darkness. But in that letting go pain, it's a pain that gets less and less every day as I move more into God's light and into his love. And so the God of my understanding has told me, choose the pain to move you forward. Now, do I do this perfectly? No. I mess up on any given day. Left up to my own devices, I self-destruct. That's why I need you tremendously in every way, shape, or form. That's spiritual for me. Someone who thought she knew all of the answers, knowing that she don't know it all and being all right with it. At 4 months clean, I said, wow, I had a revelation. If all I got to do to stay clean is to admit that there is a God and it's not me, that y'all know what's better for my life more so than I know what's better for my life, Just maybe a day at a time, I can make it this time. So far, so good. A day at a time. I've been through so many storms. I've been through so many trials, but I have not found it necessary to use. My mom passed when I had 2 years clean, and God prepared me for that. He said, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not going to use. You're going to be an example of how steadfastly I have placed the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous in you. You're not going to use. And I had heard the importance of meetings is that prior to my mom passing, I'd heard everybody share about losing their husband, losing their wife, losing their children, losing their mom, you know, losing these people, but not using. So it was like an echo. Well, Sammy's mom died and he didn't use. Well, you know, it was so powerful for me to be able to go to New Jersey, raise my hand, go back, because that's my hometown. Raise my hand and say, hey, family, my mommy passed. I didn't find it necessary to use. I never thought I'd be able to do that because that was the reservation. And I began thanking God. My whole perspective when my mom was passing was different than what it would have been before. I was able to look at the joy in her passing. I was able to look at the fact that God had allowed her to live long enough to see that her prayer was answered. Because my mother's prayer was, oh God, please let my baby, you know, pull my baby up out of this while I'm still alive. And I was running a consecutive prayer because I knew that help was on the way. I could feel, I kind of got clean on the inside in the spirit while I was still hitting that pipe. And I was like, oh God, please let mommy live a little longer, so that she can see that her prayer is answered and that her baby has gotten stronger. And he did that. And my mom passed away, like I said, when I had 2 years clean, about three and a half years ago. But not before she got to see her prayers was answered. Not before I got a chance to show up and be a daughter worth having for over 2 years. And so the joy outweighed the sorrow. Who but God? Who but God? I knew just what to do. I knew just what to do when my sister called and said, mommy had passed. I got on the phone. I called my sponsor. I called my prayer partner. I called my mentor. I called my pastor. I ran a church. I did a meeting. And I definitely had to get a whole bunch of prayer in church and in the meeting, because I was going to that dysfunctional family who still liked to hold me hostage to my past. And I knew there was going to be some eye rolling because I used to rob my mother on a regular. So I had to get girded up before I went to New Jersey. Because something that would make me pick up even more so than my mom passing would be the treatment, the doggy treatment from the family members. Walking this spiritual path is one of the most beautiful things that I've had a chance to do. And what God is telling me in the relationships and situations with my daughter, I let go of my daughter to the fact that I was like, okay, God, I've got to believe that you're in control here. You want me to get out the way, keep the focus on me, so I surrender my daughter to you. I've got to believe that the same God who pulled me out of the miry muck and clay is able to see her through. I got to believe that. But I've got to walk in that faith. When scary situations come, when she calls me up, mom, I think I'm in trouble. When I feel feelings thinking that she's slinging drugs and doing some of the stuff I used to do, I still have to hold on to the fact that God's got her back. You're looking at someone who thought she wasn't going to make it. I thought I was going to die a practicing addict. Matter of fact, I was dead. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and all but physically dead. Dead, but too trifling to lay down. Wanting to take my own life, but thinking that if I took my life, that it would be just my luck. 5 minutes after I was dead, that there'd be a knock on my door. And there'd be somebody coming over with some stuff, and I'd miss a big high. That was why I thought that I didn't want to take my own life. But for real, it was because God had a perfect plan and a perfect will for me. And what he is telling me today, he is saying, Judith, I have giving you a program called Narcotics Anonymous with 12 spiritual, principles, 24 spiritual principles, 12 steps and 12 traditions. You got me. You got a healthy network of men and women. Break the cycle. Be willing to break the cycle. Be willing to sit still and wait on that mate not worth having. Be willing to sit still and let me do the things for you. Let me put the people in your life. Work those steps to affect the things that you can't do for yourself to happen for you as a result of working the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. Break the cycle. No, I don't expect you to do it perfectly. Yes, I'll love you through the storms. Yes, I'll love you through the loneliness when you begin to miss him. Yes, I'll rock with you as you go through situations and circumstances. Break the cycle, because you now have the tools. I'm going to close with a poem, because the theme of this convention is, and that's what's happened to us. You know, and I looked up the word awaken, and what it meant was to cause to wake up, to be aroused. And you know, with this program that God has given us, you know, if we work it, we have no choice but to wake up. And so, actually, I didn't even really write this poem. God wrote it because I was just a vessel. And I want to share with you in closing, and it's called An Awakening of the Spirit. Days of turmoil, nights of despair, feeling like no one really cared. We lost our home, jobs, material possessions, and family too. In a constant state of desperation, hope couldn't seep through. We were in big time denial that we were all right. Yet we lied, cheated, and stole day and night. Then, through the grace of God, we surrendered, which was our key to freedom, regardless of race or gender. And after many years of heartache and fear, God showed compassion and brought us here. And now our faces are no longer filled with fright, yet shining like the sun with recovery's true light. And thanks to Narcotics Anonymous, we no longer have to cry. And thanks to God, we no longer have to die. So we said we'd do this thing, a day at a time. And restoration began, including peace of mind. We got a sponsor, began working steps. It was suggested that we did not forget what our lives would be like if we didn't exercise vigilance. It was suggested that we no longer straddle the fence. We grew closer to a God that before we never knew. One day our souls just opened up and we were no longer blue. In our spirit, we were awakened, all because God had taken our old broken lives and replaced them with lives that were viable and new. And we have developed wisdom in areas of which we formerly had no clue. Thanks to God at NA, we have an awakening of the spirit, and our hearts beat so loudly with joy that folks near and far can hear it. Thanks for letting me share.